Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, her daughter died without warning when she was just 22. 6 weeks later, in the middle of the night, something happened that made her question whether goodbye was really permanent.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Thank you so much for listening. If you have a real ghost story, we would absolutely love to hear it. Call it in at 855-853-4802. Write it down. If you want to just write it down, go to realghoststoriesonline.com. And become a premium subscriber if you'd like to. You get advanced episodes, access to the archive without the commercials. Sign up through Apple Podcasts or patreon.com/realghoststories. I'm Carol Hughes, and Kathy Gordon is here today.
Well, how are you doing?
Well, I can't complain too much.
You know, I am really excited about you and I have a little adventure planned.
We do. And I hope nothing stands in our way of going on our little adventure.
And I just wanted to throw it out there because Carol and I have decided to go to, well, we're going to go to a concert too, which is kind of normal for us. But Dwight Yoakam and ZZ Top.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yeah.
And so we're going to do that. But then we decided, let's get in the car and drive to Eureka Springs.
Mm-hmm. It's not that far from here, about 5 hour drive, maybe six.
And so I love Eureka Springs, and I know a lot of our listeners do too. So I wanted to throw it out there. We have done ghost tours. I've done the Crescent ghost tour. We've been on just some bus ghost tours. We've done a lot of those sorts of things. If anybody out there has any good ideas, just, you know, throw them our way through a nice, like a email or something. Because we were talking, it'd be fun to go in and visit a house that was haunted or something. And so if anybody knows of anything fun like that to do, just give us a heads up if you've done anything particularly fun.
I think it would be fun to go someplace and do like a episode of the Grave Talks on location, take a recorder.
Yeah.
Because that's always kind of fun.
So if anybody's got something like that, we would love to know about it.
And Eureka Springs, we've talked about it a lot on the show, and we are not staying at the Crescent Hotel for anyone who is thinking about that. We're not doing that. It's kind of funny because we're going to stay at this place that I stayed at years ago before the renovations happened. You stayed there after the renovations happened, and we had two totally different experiences there.
We did.
Pre-renovations, that place was one of the dumpiest, like, it really felt like something out of what's that guy's name, Lynch, who does movies?
And TV. David Lynch?
David Lynch. It felt like something out of a David Lynch TV show or movie.
Yeah.
Because it was just very weird. Like, I checked in, I had to call them first, and they met me there, and I had to pay in cash, and then I stayed there 4 days, and I never saw anybody else again. I did not see one worker. I had to pay in cash. And nobody ever cleaned my room. Nobody ever came to my room. No one was ever at the front desk again. Like, if you wanted them, you had to call them. And no matter what you wanted, you had to pay them cash.
Now I think it's completely adorable. They've really fixed it up and have made it really adorable. And it's got a cute little, like, bar kind of restaurant-y place in there. And it's gonna be super fun. But if anybody knows of, maybe you've stayed at an Airbnb or something and had an experience, and we might be able to chat with the people that own that or something. You know, I just think there might be some fun possibilities out there.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I would definitely do it. I think it would be fun.
Yeah. So, or if you live in the area of Eureka Springs and have a haunted house and would like us to come visit, let us know.
Now, keep in mind, if you want us to come in and figure out what's happening at your haunted house, we don't have any kind of abilities like that. We would just go in as observers.
Yeah. I mean, I might see a ghost or get a picture of one, but I'm not going to be great at, you know, helping you.
We're not the ones that are going to, like, tell you what you're
possessed.
We're not going to tell you what your problem is, who's there. I did a Grave Talks episode this week about this guy. He wrote a book about his haunted house. He referred to it with two of my least favorite words, demon infested. I hate the word infested.
I do too.
Because it doesn't imply anything good. Anything that's an infestation is never good. It's bad. And last place I want to be is a place infested by demons.
Like, and demons on top of it. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Demon infested.
But like he did have a paranormal crew come in and they like, and a psychic, and they were all like, yeah, you got some demons here. And I couldn't do that. And if you have demons, I don't know if I'm the one who I want to break it to you. It's like, I don't know how to tell you this, but you're going to have to sell the house.
You got a wall of trapped souls there, Ed.
I don't know what to do with it, but you might want to move because that's the only thing I see. Might want to just burn this hellhole down.
Might want to.
And by hellhole, I mean that literally. So, anyways, well, let's go to a story. I didn't plan on writing this, but after hearing a few episodes about visitations, I figured maybe it's time. My daughter died in a car accident 3 years ago. There's no softer way to say that. She was 22, stubborn, funny, and always 5 minutes late to everything. It wasn't a long illness or something we had time to prepare for. It was a phone call on a Tuesday afternoon, and then a world that didn't make sense anymore. That whole paragraph right there gets me in the heart.
Oh my God. Can't. I'm just sorry. I'm so sorry that
couldn't
happened.
Imagine. I couldn't imagine living through that. For the first month after she passed, I couldn't stay in the house alone. Not because I thought something was there, just because the silence was unbearable. Every room felt like it was waiting for her to walk into. Her shoes were still by the door. Her half-finished mug of tea sat in the back of the cabinet because I couldn't bring myself to wash it. About 6 weeks after the accident, my sister convinced me to stay at her place for a few days. She lives in a small town about 2 hours away. I didn't want to go, but I also didn't want to keep pacing the same hallway in my own house. Her house is small and old, but in a very comfortable way. That first night, I barely slept. I kept waking up, thinking I heard my daughter's laugh, but it was just the house settling or my mind replaying things. The second night is when something actually happened. I was sleeping in the guest room around 3 a.m. I woke up suddenly, no noise, no dream that I remember, just opened my eyes like someone had said my name. The room wasn't dark, dark. There was enough moonlight through the curtains that I could see shapes clearly, and I remember staring at the dresser across from the bed and trying to figure out why I was awake. Then I smelled her perfume. It wasn't faint. It wasn't the kind of thing you think, oh, that's just a memory. It was strong. The exact brand she wore, a cheap floral spray that she had used since high school because she refused to switch even when she could afford something better. The scent filled the room. My first thought was that my sister had used something similar, but it wasn't her scent. I know the difference. When you've hugged someone for 22 years, you know. I sat up slowly. The perfume got stronger. Then I heard something. Not a voice, not words. Humming. My daughter used to hum when she was nervous or thinking. It was this off-key little pattern she didn't even realize she did. Three notes, pause, three notes. I used to tease her about it when she was studying. The humming came from one of the corners of the room near the closet. I wasn't frozen. I wasn't terrified. I felt steady. That's the only way I can describe it, like whatever was happening wasn't there to frighten me. I said her name out loud and the humming stopped immediately. The perfume lingered maybe for 5 more seconds, then faded like someone had opened a window. And then the room felt completely normal again. I didn't see her. There wasn't a glowing figure or an outline, just scent and sound. I lay back down and stared at the ceiling for a long time. I expected fear to hit me, but it didn't. Instead, I felt this overwhelming sense of calm that I hadn't felt since before the accident. The next morning, I asked my sister if she used any kind of spray or candle in the house, and she said no. I didn't tell her what happened right away because I didn't want to make it bigger than it was. I sat with it quietly for a few days. When I went home later that week, I found something odd. On my kitchen table was a sticky note in my daughter's handwriting. It had been stuck to the refrigerator before the accident. It was a grocery reminder, milk, don't forget. I know for a fact I had taken it down when I cleaned the fridge the week she died. I remember holding it and crying and then throwing it away because I couldn't stand seeing her handwriting. And there it was, sitting flat on the center of the table. I live alone. No one else had been in the house. I picked it up and stared at it for a long time. The paper wasn't wrinkled. It didn't look like something pulled out of a trash bag. That's when I said out loud, okay, I get it. Because what I realized is this. My daughter was always subtle. She wasn't dramatic. If she wanted my attention, she wouldn't have flipped lights or slammed doors. She would have done something small. Her perfume, her humming, a sticky note about milk. Since that night, I haven't had another experience. No smells, no sounds, nothing moved. But something changed in me. The sharp edge of my grief softened enough so I could breathe again. Not because I think she's wandering around the house, not because I believe she's stuck here, but because in that moment, whether it was in my mind or something more, I felt connected to her in a way that didn't feel imaginary. I don't need to see her. I don't need proof that one night was enough. If my brain was trying to comfort me, then I'm grateful for it. If it was truly her stopping by and the only way she knew I'd recognize, I'm grateful for that too. Either way, it helped. Thank you for reading this and letting people share things that don't always fit neatly into ghost story. Sometimes it's just something in between. That's from Karen. I find that very, very, very touching. And, you know, I think it took her going to her sister's house for the daughter to be able to come through. Because mm-hmm. in her house, I think she was so absorbed by the grief and her daughter yeah. being in every space and every room and every part of the house. Like she said, she expects her to walk into a room.
Yeah.
That once she removed herself from there, I think her daughter was able to come through.
And don't you think, too, that we have some of our senses are better than others? Like I always said, I feel like my sense of smell has always been good as something. Some people might say it's their sight. Some people might say it's their vision. But I wonder in this instance, if Karen would think about it, if her sense of smell and hearing are her two, you know, super senses.
And even
and those are the two things that her daughter could, you know, do something that would get her mom's attention.
Because even if she doesn't have a great sense of smell or whatever, I don't. But I think when someone is trying to get through, you can pick up on that stuff whether you have a great sense of smell or not. You know, it
true.
Was your daughter coming
but
through.
But I was just thinking, you know, instead of like presenting as a apparition or something, she did it in a more subtle way.
Which like, I liked that part because you know, she said her daughter was that type of person who would come through like that, not in the over the top apparition, moving things
shadow
around.
Person yeah. or something, you know, but that just did a okay, mom, you know, this would be the way my mom would even expect me to do this.
It's just so and touching.
It really is. And, you know, grief is so. You know, it's just so deep and sharp. And so to do something that maybe happened in an unexpected place and time was easier to get through to her mom.
And I
like
think
you said,
in the house,
at
the
her own
was,
house, yeah. there was so much still just sitting there.
And so much grief, you know, like she's just constantly yeah. absorbed by it. It would be impossibly hard to go on after something like that.
Yeah. But to be taken out of the environment, put somewhere else altogether, she just might have been more approachable at that moment.
Especially like if she did hum, you know.
Yeah.
Because I think it was you when you were a kid, you would write and always stick your tongue out.
Oh, yeah. I totally.
You know, so everybody's got their own little thing. So you write and you, when you focus, maybe you hum, and that might have been what she did, and she'd be concentrating.
Yeah.
I don't know, those visitation stories always get me.
Oh, and I you know, my deepest condolences, Karen, because I know it's still hard, it's still rough every day,
but it is a beautiful story.
It is.
Well, let's go to this story.
it's Laura calling from Halifax, Nova Scotia, Canada. And I've been listening to the podcast for a few weeks now. It's nice listening to as I am working from home. After the first story, I knew exactly what story I was going to share. And actually, just speaking now, I've got one other little one to share. But I've been putting it off and spooking myself out, so I didn't want to do it when I was home alone and freaked out. However, so the first little one was, I had, I think, a great uncle in the family, and he was a big Montreal Canadiens fan, NHL. My extended family were kind of, a number of them were watching a Montreal Canadiens game in the Montreal Forum. We're watching it at home on TV, and they were playing at home in the Montreal Forum. And my great uncle was the biggest Montreal fan, I guess. And anyway, they got a call that I think he had a heart attack or something. And just around the time they got the call, they were watching the game on TV, and the power went out unexpectedly at the Montreal Forum. Nobody really knew what happened. It was out for a few minutes, I guess. My family got a call that he had actually passed away. And the time they got the second call, the lights came back on the Forum. Nobody really knows what happened. Anyway, that's just a little one I've heard growing up. But the story I'm mainly calling in to share today is when I was getting my teaching degree, there was a day camp in the area that wanted teachers to run the day camp. Believe it or not, there weren't as many teachers as they would have hoped looking to pick up summer work at a day camp. So they then reached out to the university for people who are training to be teachers. I was doing something else earlier in the summer. It worked out with my schedule. I accepted the job. I was a day camp leader for that summer. Anyway, sometimes I'd end up in the room with the younger kids. They were 4 years old. They couldn't do a whole lot for themselves. They're four. We had to, help them with their snack. We had to, whenever we went outside, make sure everybody had their hat. We had to make sure everybody had their sunscreen on. And there was this one kid. He was kind of, a little extra pale. He was a little bit more of a loner than everybody else, but, nobody had a problem with him. He didn't have a problem with anybody else. It was just sometimes he would have an empty chair near him, and I would hear him talk to himself sometimes, but that's not odd. They're four. People have imaginary friends. But anyway, one day we were getting ready to go outside, and we've got kind of the assembly line of kids coming through for each of the counselors to get rubbed up with their sunscreen before we go out. Anyway, this day, this kid was in my line, and as I'm lathering him up, I ask him, who are you talking to, kind of thing. Because earlier that day, again, he was talking to the empty chair beside him and just making conversation, who are you talking to? And he said something like, oh, two boys or something. And I was like, oh, what are their names? And I can't remember if he told me their names or he didn't know. He shrugged it off. And I said, oh, just, making conversation. How old are they? And he shrugged and he said, I don't know. And then it was the weirdest thing. His body went rigid. His eyes started looking right through me. Before they were, warm and he was like, he was there. It was a person there, whatever. But when I asked him how old these kids were, he initially said he didn't know. Then his body went completely rigid. He stared right through me and he whispered almost inaudibly, snapped out of it, came to again. It felt like there was personality back in his eyes. His body, you know, relaxed. And then he looked at me and said, 18. He snapped back into the rigid state again, eyes looking right through me, almost inaudibly again, whispered, 19. Snapped out of it, looked back at me, personality back in his eyes, and he said, and 19. I was so creeped out. I had goosebumps, like they say. I actually got goosebumps, and, you know, my heart was racing, and I was freaked out, but I'd pretty much finished putting the sunscreen on him at that point, and I finished up, made sure he had his hat and shoes and everything, and was like, right, next. But, oh, man, it was really weird, because when I asked him originally, he said he didn't know, and his whole demeanor changed. He whispered something to me, almost as if, you know, somebody, something was speaking through him. It was the craziest thing, and it stands out in my mind as bizarre. And so I kind of, I tried to look up a little bit if, is it common for kids to have multiple imaginary friends? And I guess it is, but is it common that their ages are, you know, 18 and 19? I would think maybe it would be common that they're about the same age as the kid, or maybe an older adult or something, but it was the weirdest thing, and I figured I'd share, and that's my ghost story. Thanks a lot. Keep up the good work with the show. Bye.
That was so creepy, because it really felt like the kid was possessed.
Yeah.
You know, like, he just looks at it and goes, 19. And then he snaps out of it. And then, like, it's just weird.
It says 19.
Yeah. It was really weird.
I just don't exactly know what to think of it. It's so odd.
I don't know. With children, they're not that good of actors, number one. I mean, I'm assuming there's a few good child actors, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
There's nothing to gain from doing that and behaving like that.
Yeah.
So it's such a weird thing for a kid to do. And I get imaginary friends and I get all of that. That makes sense to me. But, you know, this whole, what she described, that's at a whole different level. That just feels like possession.
That is so weird. And it doesn't, and I just don't think he would be acting.
And for what reason, you know?
Yeah. I mean, maybe he might do something to get attention. Kids do different things and say different things to get attention. But it just seems really an odd way to get attention for a child. Like, kids would more act out, you know, take somebody's candy bar, push somebody, do something, you know, sing loud, whatever. Just to get on your nerves, to get your attention. But this is a weird.
It was, you know. Yeah, that was very strange. Now, the first story she shared about her uncle, that's pretty awesome. I don't know if when you die, and like you and I being big Cubs fans, if we could shut the lights off at a minute for Wrigley Field. That would be kind of awesome, but it
they
is.
They should have a moment of silence for us, definitely, but you know.
The fact that they get this call during the game and they're watching at home, the lights go out for mysterious, you know, the electricity's off for mysterious reasons. And then it comes back on at the same time you find out your uncle, who's a huge fan, died. I don't know.
Whether that's the case or not,
I like to think it was her uncle.
I do too. But here's the thing. What I would rather have happen is the moment I die, like, my favorite player on the Cubs hits a grand slam home run.
That would be better and win the game.
Right. That's what I think. What do you think?
I think I
want something fun to happen.
Yeah.
Right then.
I would like that.
Yeah. Like, I like to think they scored a goal for him.
But, you know, that's a pretty big thing to do. If you're able to do that, you're pretty powerful.
You're pretty powerful.
You know, because we were talking the other day about the girl that had just something fall off of her nightstand or something. I'm like, well, if, you know, that's all you can do. That's like,
yeah.
Push that pen over. And this guy shuts electricity off at a hockey game. Like, that's pretty big.
That's pretty impressive.
Well, if you have a real ghost story, please share it with us. Call it in, 855-853-4802. Write it in at realghoststoriesonline.com and become a premium subscriber if you'd like. Advanced episodes, access to the archive, no commercials. You could sign up at Apple Podcasts or patreon.com/realghoststories. And for all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thank you for listening.
Normally in these ads, you'd expect someone like me to ask you to buy something. But I want to ask you to do something different. I'm Dave Farenthold, and I'm a reporter for the New York Times. I'm an investigative reporter, which means that I follow the money, inside of government and outside of government. The point of my job is to find things people are trying to hide. It involves talking to lots of people. It involves looking through lots and lots of documents. And if there weren't folks like me to go beyond the surface to understand who is really shaping what the government does, the public will be left in the dark about what the government's doing with your tax money, what the government's doing to you through regulations and spending. If you're like me and you think this kind of journalism is important, seek out a news source that does firsthand, fact-based reporting. If that's the New York Times, thank you. If that's your local paper, that's great too, because where you get your information matters.